Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, February the 6th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come to you today to continue our study of the events that are taking place around us. We're grateful for all that you show us. And today we ask that you would continue to guide us so that we might be protected in the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today I'd like to share with you an article that, I considered this for a little while before I decided to do it. But it's quite expansive, but important that you understand. The title of the article is Christian Reconstructionism. Now, you've heard me talk about that before. The title for today, therefore, is Christian Reconstructionism. And then there's a subtitle to that which says, Theocratic Dominionism Gains Influence. Theocratic Dominionism Gains Influence. Now, both of those words, Reconstructionism and Dominionism, are linked. And in just in case, I mean, I've dealt with this on a number of occasions before, but this, just in case this is the first time you're listening, Reconstructionism is the rebuilding of the society. There are those who believe in that. They want to rebuild this nation into a Christian nation. Basically, what they want to do is turn it into a theocracy. And the reason why they want to do that is because they believe in theocratic dominionism. They believe that dominionism means that God has given them dominion, not over the United States of America, but over the entire world. All right? So the title for the day is Christian Reconstructionism. The subtext is Theocratic Dominionism Gains Influence. Now, the article is written by Frederick Clarkson. Frederick Clarkson is a man who has done an incredible amount of study in this area. He's very, very well informed where the Reconstructionists are concerned and where the Dominionists are concerned. And if you notice what is happening in the Congress and in the Senate, and some of the silence that you hear coming from these offices concerning all of the far-right evangelicalism that you see happening, it is because most of these people believe that God has given them dominion and that they have every intention of turning this nation into a Christian nation. And this is one of the reasons why, even though some of the comments that you might hear from people like that Senator Green, who has just been recently removed from her offices in the Senate, or in the House, you'll find that they believe that they have been given this kind of authority. So again, the title, Christian Reconstructionism. The subtext, Theocratic Dominionism Gains Influence, written by Frederick Clarkson, and it was published back on June 1994. That would be the March-June publication, 1994. Now, you'll find it in the Political Research Associates website. That's the PRA website, the Political Research Associates website. All right, here's some of the article. The Christian right has shown impressive resilience and has rebounded dramatically after a series of embarrassing televangelist scandals of the late 1980s. The collapse of Jerry Falwell's moral majority and the failed presidential bid of Pat Robertson in the 1990s, Christian right organizing went to the grassroots and exerted wide influence in American politics across the country. There is no doubt that Pat Robertson's Christian Coalition gets much of the credit for this successful strategy shift to the local level. But another largely overlooked reason for the persistent success of the Christian right is a theological shift since the 1960s. The catalyst for the shift is Christian Reconstructionism, arguably the driving ideology of the Christian right in the 1990s. The significance of Reconstructionist movement is not its numbers, but the power of its ideas, and their surprisingly rapid acceptance. Many on the Christian right are unaware that they hold Reconstructionist ideas, because as a theology it is controversial. Even among evangelicals, many who are consciously influenced by it avoid the label. This furtiveness is not, however, as significant as the potency of the ideology itself. Generally, Reconstructionism seeks to replace democracy with a theocratic elite that would govern by imposing their interpretation of biblical law. Reconstructionism would eliminate not only democracy, but many of its manifestations, such as labor unions, civil rights laws, the public schools. Women would be generally relegated to hearth and home. Insufficiently Christian men would be denied citizenship, perhaps executed. So severe is this theocracy that it would extend capital punishment beyond such crimes as kidnapping, rape, and murder to include, among other things, blasphemy, heresy, adultery, and homosexuality. Reconstructionism has expanded from the works of a small group of scholars to inform a wide swath of conservative Christians in their thoughts and actions. While many Reconstructionist political positions are commonly held conservative views, what is significant is that Reconstructionists have created a comprehensive program with biblical justification for far-right political policies. Many post-World War II conservative anti-communist activities were also, if secondarily, conservative Christians. However, the Reconstructionist movement calls on conservatives to be Christians first and to build a church-based political movement from there. For much of Reconstructionism's short history, it has been an ideology in search of a constituency, but its influence has grown far beyond the founders' expectations. A Reconstructionist author, Gary North, observes, "We once were shepherds without sheep. No longer." Reconstructionism is a theology that arose out of the conservative Presbyterianism, which proposes that contemporary application of the law of the Old Testament Israel, or biblical law, is the basis for Reconstruction society toward the kingdom of God on earth. Reconstructionism argues that the Bible is to be the governing text for all areas of life, such as government, education, law, and the arts, not merely social or moral issues like pornography, homosexuality, and abortion. Reconstructionists have formulated a biblical worldview and biblical principles by which to examine contemporary matters. Reconstructionist theology leader David Clinton succinctly describes this view. Quote, "The Christian goal for the world is the universal development of biblical theocratic republics in which every area of life is redeemed and placed under the lordship of Jesus Christ and the rule of God's law." More broadly, Reconstructionists believe that there are three main areas of government: family, government, and church, and of course, civil. Under God's covenant, the nuclear family is the basic unit. The husband is the head of the family, and the wife and children are in submission to him. In turn, the husband submits to Jesus and to God's law, as detailed in the Old Testament. The church has its own ecclesiastical structure and governance. Civil government exists to implement God's laws. All three institutions are under biblical law, the implementation of which is called a theonomy. The original and defining text of Reconstructionism is Institutes of Biblical Law, published in 1973 by Rosas John Rushdoony. It is an 800-page explanation of the Ten Commandments. "All law is religious in nature," says Rushdoony, "and every non-biblical law order represents an anti-Christian religion." In brief, he continues, every law order is a state of war against the enemies of that order, and all law is a form of warfare. Gary North, Rashiduni's son-in-law, wrote an appendix to Institutes on the subject, Christian Economics. It is a polemic which serves as a model for the application of biblical principles. Rashiduni and a younger theologian, Reverend Greg Besnen, were both students of Cornelius Van Til, a Princeton University theologian. Although Van Til himself never became a Reconstructionist, Reconstructionists claim him as the father of their movement. According to Gary North, Van Til's argument that there is no philosophical strategy that has ever worked except this one, to challenge the lost in terms of the revelation of God in the Bible, by what standard can man know anything truly other than through the Bible? By the Bible, and only by the Bible, he believes. This idea that the correct and only way to view reality is through the lens of the biblical world is known as presuppositionalism. According to Gary North, Van Til stopped short of proposing what a biblical society might look like or how you would get there. That is where Reconstructionist begins. When Van Til states that man is not autonomous and that all his rational thoughts and plans are inseparable from faith in God and the Bible, the Reconstructionists go further and set a course of world conquest of dominion, claiming a biblically prophesied inevitable victory for all dominionists. Reconstructionists also believe that the Christians are the new chosen people of God, commanded to do what Adam and Eve in Eden and Israel in Canaan failed to do, create the society that God requires. Further, Jews, once the chosen people, fail to live up to God's covenant and therefore are no longer God's chosen. Christians of the correct sort now are God's chosen. Rashiduni's Institutes of Biblical Law consciously echoes a major work of the Protestant Reformation, John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion. In fact, Reconstructionists see themselves as the theological and political ears of John Calvin. The theocracy Calvin created in Geneva, Switzerland, and in the 1500s is one of the political models of Reconstructionists that they look towards today, along with Old Testament Israel and the Calvinist Puritans of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Epitomizing the Reconstructionist idea of biblical warfare is the centrality of capital punishment under biblical law. Doctrinal leaders, notably Rashiduni, North, and Beshan, call for the death penalty for a wide range of crimes, in addition to such contemporary capital crimes as rape, kidnapping, and murder. Death is also the punishment for apostasy, which is really described as the abandonment of the faith. Death is also the punishment for heresy, blasphemy, witchcraft, astrology, adultery, sodomy or homosexuality, incest, striking a parent, incorrigible juvenile delinquency, and in the case of women, unchastity before marriage. According to Gary North, women who have abortions should be publicly executed, along with those who advise them to abort their children. Rashiduni concludes, God's government prevails and his alternatives are clear-cut. Either men and nations obey his laws, or God invokes the death penalty against them. Reconstructionists insist that the death penalty is the maximum, not necessarily the mandatory penalty. However, such judgments may depend less on biblical principles than on that which they claim to be a theocratic Law of the Republic. The potential for bloodthirsty episodes on the Order of the Satanic Ritual of the Spanish Inquisition is inadvertently revealed by Reconstructionist theology. Reverend Ray Sutton, who claims that the reconstructed biblical theology would be happy places to which people would flock because capital punishment is one of the best evangelistic tools of a society, is a description of exactly what he has in mind and the kind of ideas that they are pushing. The biblically approved methods of execution include burning at the stake, for example, stoning, hanging, and the sword. Gary North, the self-described economist of Reconstructionism, prefers stoning because, among other things, stones are cheap, plentiful, and convenient. Punishments for non-capital crimes generally involve whipping, restitution in the form of indentured servitude or slavery. Prisons would likely be only temporary holding tanks prior to imposition of the actual sentence. People who sympathize with Reconstructionism often flee the label because of the severe and unpopular nature of their views. Even those who feel it appropriate that they would be the governors of God's theocracy often waffle on the particulars like capital punishment for sinners and non-believers. Unflinching advocates, however, insist upon consistency. Reverend Greg Beshan, in his book, By This Standard, writes, "We endorse the justice of God's penal code. If the Bible is to be the foundation of our Christian political ethic, we must endorse God's penal code." Reconstructionism has adopted covenantalism, the theological doctrine that biblical covenants exist between God and man, God and nations, God and families, and that they make up the binding, incorporating doctrine that makes sense of everything. Specifically, there is a series of covenant structures that make up a biblical blueprint for society's institutions. Reconstructionists believe that God judges a whole society according to how it keeps these covenantal laws and provides signs of that judgment. This belief can be seen, for example, in the claim that AIDS is a sign of God's judgment. So notice now, what they're saying is when certain things happen and certain diseases begin to flow, then it is a sign of God's judgment because that particular society is not falling in line with God's laws. Continuing, Reconstructionist Reverend Ray Sutton writes that there is no such thing as a natural disaster. Nature is not neutral. Nothing takes place in nature by chance, although we may not know the exact sin being judged, Sutton declares. What occurs results from God. Most Reconstructionists, for example, argue that the United States is a Christian nation and that they are the champions and heirs of the original intentions of the founding fathers. This dual justification for their views, one religion, the other somehow constitutional, is the result of a form of historical revisionism that Rushdoony frankly calls Christian revisionism. Christian revisionism is important in understanding the Christian's rights approach to politics and public policy. If one, political righteousness and sense of historical continuity are articles of faith, what appear as facts to everyone else fall before the compelling evidence of faith. Whatever does not fit neatly into a biblical worldview becomes problematic, perhaps a delusion sent by Satan, they say. The invocations of the Bible and the Founding Fathers are powerful ingredients for good religious nationalist demagoguery. However, among the stark flaw of Reconstructionist history is the way Christian revisionism distorts historical facts. Now, I'm going to stop here, but I want you, I thought I would share this article with you again because I've shared parts of it with you before. But I want you to understand that what you see happening now, the kind of decisions that are being taken by Congress, by Senate, by the cabinet, by the far-right evangelicals, by those who march and demonstrate and do all kinds of activities, they believe that they are the Reconstructionists. They embrace the concept of dominionism. They believe that they are going to clean this nation up and make it into a Christian nation. And this is why they walk with their weapons, because they do not believe that they would be committing murder. They believe that they would be punishing those who are wrong in the sight of God. And of course, as Rush Dooney makes the point, if you are not walking according to the will of God, then death would be the punishment that is reasonable for you. Of course, you and I understand where this is heading. You and I fully understand this because God in His wisdom has given us an indication, the kind of warning that is necessary so that we might be ready for what is to come. Today, God is again giving you an opportunity to take another look at the background of what you're seeing now. This far-right evangelical approach, the kind of accusations that keep coming out of the mouth of men and women, not just men, and women who are in the Congress, who are in the Senate. And you're amazed by the things that they're saying. They're saying what they're saying because of the background of their belief system. And you and I need to get ready. We need to be ready now. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to prepare us for that which is to come. We're grateful that you continue to show us, step by step, the events that are taking place. Today we ask that you would fill us with understanding, that our lives will reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again today we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study, and we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry, so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your Daily Briefing, February the 6th, 2021.